Good morning. I shared a joke with Pastor Dan yesterday, and he was about to get the joke out, so I told him, don't do that. I wanted to say with all of you. My connection with Action Venture, Venture Team International, it was before. Action Venture is now some 13, 14 years back. So the first team that I met when I was with the Campus Crusade for Christ. So Venture Team International sent a team to Campus Crusade for Christ in India to help them. So I was a staff. So I was trying to help the Venture Team International people with their food. So we need to organize a cook. And I wanted to help them with talking to the cook because the cook won't speak English. So I was asking them different types of food they eat. So I asked them whether they eat potato. And they said no. And I asked them, how come? Because the Campus Crusade Athletes in Action team, when they came from US, they loved it. I said, how come you don't eat potato? And they said, we don't eat it, and we never even heard something like potato. So I was really confused. So I went to the kitchen, and I got one of that, and I showed them. And then they said, oh, potato. So that's the difference between Indian English and a little bit of Canadian English. I hope you will not have that kind of problem today. But if you're facing a problem, just show me a hand. Yeah, we have a very good partnership with the Action Ministries, Action Venture team. One of the stories I was telling that also yesterday is the last team. I think it is the last team that when they came, we could do a program in an orphanage. Most of the programs we do in the schools, there are 1,000, 1,500, sometimes 500. One school we did a program up to 2,500 students. They do programs up to 50 schools sometime if they are there for 2 months and all. In this particular program, was for an orphanage, the same program, but after the program, we went out with them to play soccer, which we normally can't do with the school kids. And after playing, and I spoke to one guy, I asked him, hey, what did you like about the program? He said, oh, I like the skit that is basically presenting the gospel. And then the message, that is when I give them an invitation to receive Christ. So I was surprised to hear that from a seventh grade boy. So I asked him, why you like the message? He said, I prayed to receive Christ. I asked him, how do you know Christ came into your life? He said, immediately after I prayed that prayer, I felt like I'm a different boy from all the other students sitting in the class. I'm very different from everybody. Just a 12-year-old boy, and he's telling how he met the Lord. There could be thousands of that stories, which we don't know how many of them have received Christ. And approximately, I believe, anything, the minimum 30,000 to up to 100,000 must be the exposure possibility when a team from Action Venture come to India. And we don't know how many. Yesterday, we were seeing a picture in that a school where the third Muslim students, almost 90% of the students are Muslims, and they didn't have a big hall. We normally do a program in an auditorium or something like that, in a hall like this. This particular school did not have that, so we had to go to each classroom. The team was so tired doing program every half an hour in each class, but that was so rewarding. You would see children are praying and receiving Christ with you, Muslim kids. So it's an amazing ministry. And when I left Campus Crusade for Christ, after ministering with Campus Crusade for 10 years, because they want me to go to southern part of India, which I'm from, and I work in somewhere a little bit towards the north now, that is Bombay. And I had a burden for northern part because southern part is in India is more having more gospel. We have 20% Christians, but the northern part is 2% or 1% of Christians. So I always wanted to work in the place where there is less Christians. So when I left Campus Crusade and came out all by myself, Mark sent me a team first time. So that has been a great blessing to help me to start with ministry. So I'm so happy that even this trip I could make it because of the partnership with the Action Venture. They have made all the arrangements for my trip and the invitation to get a visa and all these arrangements, transportation, everything. So I'm really thankful to God for a ministry like Action Venture. That's about me, and I have one wife, and her name is Anu, and we have two daughters. One is Hannah, and one is Ruth. Ruth is 11-year-old, and Hannah is 6-year-old. Yeah, I'm missing them a lot. 6 weeks now I'm away. This is the first time I'm being away from them more than 6 weeks, so I have been away more than 6 weeks. I told Ruth I'm going away for a trip. Then she said she doesn't want me to go. Then I told her, I'm going to buy you some special gifts. Now, what do you want? You know. And then she said puzzle piece and stuff like that. So that was good. She was happy. After 1 week, she told me I don't want you to go. And then I asked her, why? What about a gift? It's okay, I don't want the gift. So, yeah, I kind of miss them too. All right, for our devotion today, let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. India is a country of 1.3 billion people, and I live in a city of Mumbai with 25 million people. And my province has got 100 million people. So it's a big people, a lot of people, with a lot of ministry opportunities. So if at all you're thinking about a mission outreach for your church, think about India. I'm sure Mark will help you to come. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I know I'm talking to people from different culture. I know I'm coming from East and you live in West. And I know I'm from a third world country and you are a developed country. But the word of God is the same, right? And it is same for everybody. I normally don't do this, I given a name for my message that is opportunity in desperation. Opportunity in desperation. Desperation, am I saying it right? All right. There is an opportunity for evil. There is an opportunity for omission. There is an opportunity to see the provision. Desperation is an opportunity to see for the evil thing in our life, for evil things to happen in our life. Desperation is so as an opportunity to see provision from God. We are looking at this first temptation of Christ. We have heard a lot of time. We may be knowing this verse by heart. But these are some of the things that God spoke to me about this particular passage that helped my life in my ministry to trust God for times of desperation. So it is very, very personal. I'm not just trying to tell you some theological things from this passage. This is a truth that has really worked in my life. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Do you know what is speciality about fasting for 40 days? Is there anybody did it? I don't think. Yeah. Most of the time when we do fasting for 40 days, we take juice, soup, tea, coffee, and stuff like that, which is food actually. So it is not a real 40 days fasting. 40 days fasting has a specialty because according to the medical science, a man can only live like 35 to 40 days, depends on the body fat and his health condition, etc. So Jesus had a 40 days of fasting. It doesn't look like, he will not look like the way you saw him in Jesus' movie. I'm serious. Because once you are not eating for 40 days, you will lose a lot of body weight. Most probably, Jesus would have looked at, like one of the guy, some of the picture that you see about the poor children in Nigeria or some of the poor country, you will see the children without any stomach, the bellies touching to the back and the body, something like that he must have looked. The reason I'm assuming that, because a person can only live till 35, maximum 40 days without food. Which means, it is written here, after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And we all feel hungry, right? Especially if you don't have a breakfast, by the time it comes to lunch, we are very hungry, right? But this is not that hungry. This particular hungry is when you are about to die without food. I never experienced that. I'm sure nobody here have experienced that. This could be something like, give me food, otherwise I will literally die. Sometimes we go and tell mama, give me food, I'm going to die. It is not that kind of word also. It is literally someone is going to die if that person don't eat food. It's that kind of hungry. It is a time of ultimate desperation. It is a time of a need that if you don't meet that need, you will die. We all face situations, desperate situations in life. We all face situations that if I don't do something, my life is going to end here. That kind of situation. This particular situation in our life is it opens a big door for devil to use it. And devil is smart enough to use it even against Jesus Christ. He was hungry. Then the tempter came to him. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. I was telling you, a desperate situation will bring is an opportunity for evil. Listen to that, what devil says. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Is there anywhere it is written, don't make stone into bread in the Bible? No. How come it is a temptation then? We'll talk about it later. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Any kinds of desperate situation that we are in is an opportunity for the evil. Because he will appeal to your ability to meet your need. Your ability to meet your need. Jesus had the ability to meet his need. He had the ability, physical ability. He had the divine ability to make stone into bread and meet his need. We do have abilities when we are in desperate situations. Especially if your marriage is in trouble, we have an ability to divorce. If your marriage is in trouble, you have an ability to commit adultery or to be unfaithful. If your finance is in trouble, we have an ability to lying or cheating or robbing or borrowing or whatever. You have ability to meet your need in a desperate situations. When you are in socially, you are in trouble. You have ability to manipulate, to gossip, to boast, to get your social things up. We have abilities. That is the problem. If you have a desperate situation and you cannot do anything, then you have no temptation. But if you have a desperate situation and then you have an ability to get your desperate situation is met through a negative way, through cheating or lying or any kinds of sinful way, that is where the temptation opens up. So devil is appealing and say, you are not a normal guy. You have such a super special abilities. Why in the world are you suffering? Why don't you find your own way? You are a great handsome guy. Or you are having these kinds of friends. Or you have this and these things are open for you. Or if you just make this kind of a lie or a wrong report, you can get your needs met. The devil will apply to your ability. It is written in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Maybe I will read it. It is written, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in his own ability or in his friend's ability. I remember a story when I was in Bible college. My youngest sister is going to get married. And in Indian culture, if you wanted your daughter or your sister to get married, you have to give dowry. And it's a big thing. I'm from a little bit of a tough family. I'm from a Catholic background. My father is an alcoholic, very responsible person. My elder brother is an alcoholic. I'm the only one who studied a bit, did a degree. Now I'm doing my master's in biblical studies, but I don't have any money because I was working with the Campus Crusade where every day you raise your support. My mother called me and said, Your younger sister's wedding is arranged, and we expect you to arrange 50,000 rupee and $1,000, which is I'm talking about some 14 years back. So it's a big need and big challenge. But you know, I have a great faith in my friends. So my friend, I just called my friend who actually discipled me when I came to the Lord, and I told him, there is a problem, there is an issue like this. He said, oh, that's not a problem because your best friend, there's another guy, we are all very good friends. In fact, they helped me to grow spiritually. Your best friend just got married, right? He just got married and he have got some dowry. He also get dowry. And he has got money kept in the bank. So just ask him, he will give it to you. Yeah. I had no doubt because he's my best friend. Yeah. And he's a very good person. In this story, he may not sound, but he's a real good person. So the Bible college that I study is in a place called Hosur. I had to almost walk 2 kilometers to a nearest place where I can make a phone call. There was no cell phone at that time. So after the dinner or something, I walked to this particular place in Bangalore, made a call to him, and I said, hey, John, you know, whatever is my friend. I said, okay, I'm in this need. I need 50,000 rupee. He asked me, when you need it? I said, as soon as possible. And then he said, you want it tonight? I said, oh, whenever you can. And he said, okay, give me a call tomorrow. And then I went home and then came back and called him on the next day evening, and his wife took the phone. And then she said, oh, you know, we can't give, we don't have that much money. We can only give you 10,000 rupee. And I said, okay. And I kept the phone down, very, very disappointed. And then I walked back. I felt so disheartened because I came out of my family alone. These are my only friends that I had, especially mentoring me up and the spiritual connections that I had. And I walked back, God asked me, okay, Roy, so what's going on? You know, 2 kilometers I had to walk. And then the question God was asking me is, oh, whom do you trust for your need? Because I trusted so much on my friends, I was so confident my friends are going to give me the money. And then I realized my sin, and then I just confessed, and then I trusted God. And then God supernaturally provided that money. More than the money, immediately I felt the peace, and God provided the money supernaturally. And I could pay them back in 1 month time, not even 1 month, less than 1 month of time. Who do we trust when you face with a desperate situation? Do we look for our ways to come out of our situation? It's an important question that we need to ask ourselves. The second point, chapter 4, verse 4. That's where my answer is. Where is it written? Don't make stone into bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Anybody knows where is it quoted from? It is from the Old Testament. It is, Jesus said it is written. That means it is somewhere in the Bible. It is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's look at that verse. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 onwards. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is where it is quoted from. Now, if you understand the context here, you will understand this verse better. What is that context saying? Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. So it is talking about the wilderness journey in 40 years. Humbled and tested you in order to know what was in your heart. So there is something called humbling, whether or not you would keep his commandment. Verse 3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone. Devil advocate this. You have a desperate situation. Are you going to see, you are in a very massive place. Think what you can do and find a way out. Whether it is sin, doesn't matter. Whether it is immorality, doesn't matter. Because you have a desperate situation, this is the only thing you can do, so get out. That is the word from the devil. This is something that we always hear again and again and again, and we fall into it several times. Because the situation is desperate, and all what you can do is that, and you just did it. Now, Jesus' answer in this particular context is this. Every desperate situation in life is an opportunity for you to know how limited you are. God humbled them. I have a definition for humility. Humility is an ability to recognize your inabilities. Humility is the ability to recognize your inabilities. If you can understand your limitations, you are humble. So every desperate situation is in God, or God allows in your life so that you will know this is your limit. That's it. And then the second thing about it is, every desperate situation not only bring a help you to understand this is your limit, it also helps you to understand there is a supernatural provision from God. You are dear to God, and God is able, and God is powerful, and He is interested in your life, and He wanted to involve in your life, and He wanted to deliver you from the situation. That's what it means. Read it again, verse 3. He humbled you, He made you to understand your limitation, causing you to hunger, that's a desperate situation, then feed you with manna, that is a supernatural provision from God, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, because God always have new ways to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, how do we understand that verse? It says, man does not live by their own ability alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It says, man does not have not only one resource, that is your own human abilities, your ability to meet your need, then there is one another thing, that is supernatural abilities of God. God did not feed them with the word, God fed them with the manna. So God said a word, and then there was manna in front of their houses. When your ability cannot meet your need, then there is a supernatural abilities of God that is available to meet your need. Today, if you're facing with a dire situation, a situation that is actually killing you, that you have no way out, and you know this is your limitation, don't look at your friends. Don't look at negative ways. Just look at God, because you're very close to a miracle. That's what Jesus said. I know my Father who provided food for Israel people 40 years without failing even one day. I can trust Him to provide my food right now. I don't have to make stone into bread. And if you read the next verse, verse 11, it says, immediately after the temptation, the angel came and attended to him. I'm sure it is with the food and water. Our God is a faithful God. I have seen it. Why I am very confident about this message? Because I have experienced it. There was one time when I was at the Campus Crusade for Christ after my Bible college, and I was working in a city called Pune, but they sent me to Mumbai. I didn't like it, but they sent me. And when I came to Mumbai, nobody knows me, and we go to college, to the university to do ministry with the non-Christian students. Go morning like 9 o'clock, come maybe by 7 o'clock in the evening. Saturday is the only day you get to wash your clothes and everything. We don't have a washing machine. And Sunday we go to any church and just worship. And that's it. Nobody knows you, what you're doing, who you are. And I'm from a non-Christian family. I don't have a home church that will think about me or pray for me. So this time I'm getting my salary received. It is some $4 or $5. In Campus Crusade, you have to raise your support, send it to Campus Crusade account, then you will get your salary. If you don't raise your support, and then you don't get anything. So I didn't get anything that month. So when I saw that, I was angry with God. Because first of all, I didn't want to come to Bombay, and He sent me to Bombay. Now He's giving me almost an empty envelope. So what I did was, I went to the bedroom and knelt near the bed, and I said, God, I didn't want to come to Mumbai. You sent me here. Now, what is the problem with the salary? And I was very angry with God. I did not pray anything. That's the only thing I did. And then because I'm very frustrated, the whole day I watched movies, some TV program, whatever. And that night, I'm staying with another guy. That night, my friend's cooking and my washing of dishes. So I was washing the dishes. There is, unknowingly, a song came. I'm still not in good terms with God. I'm still angry with Him. But the song is a Christian song. And it's a Malayalam song, and it is talking about how faithful God in provisions and whatever, how God took care of your need in the past, stuff like that, the Malayalam song mean. That is my vernacular language. I was singing and singing, and then suddenly I started thinking about the meaning, and then suddenly God started speaking to me, because I was in the ministry maybe at that time for 7 years. So God started speaking to me. Have you ever gone hungry? No. Have you ever lacked any need? No. Then he started showing me the kind of places he took me. I'm from a small village, but the way God took me to places and made me to stay in big, big places, meet with the big leaders of Christian, world Christian leaders and stuff like that. God showed me all those things. And then he said, how can you doubt me? So I was crying that night, and I said, I'm so sorry, Lord, I doubted you. Till 2 o'clock in the night, I was thanking God for all his provisions. The next day morning, someone gave me 1,000 rupees. That was actually what I needed for food. So my problems almost took care. Then what I need is another 300 rupees or 200 rupees. That is basically for my railway pass and for some other expenses. So I was actually visiting a place in the middle of the city. Mumbai is 25 million people. Nobody knows anybody. You just walk like this with people. So I go down from a bus, and I'm searching for this particular house. So when I go down from the bus, I ask this particular guy who go down with me, I asked him, do you know this address? He said, yes, I'm going that direction. Since, you know, we are in campus school, said we are a little bit aggressive in evangelism. So I thought, anyway, I got this guy, so I will share gospel with him. So I started talking to him, told him I'm with the campus crusade and whatever. So he asked me, oh, are you like Vaivam? He said, yes. Oh, you raise your own support? I said, yes. Oh, you know what? For the last 2 months, I was keeping my tithe. I did not know whom to give. And he took me to the side of the road and gave me 500 rupees. I never met him before. I never met him after. I just met him recently, after 13 years or so. Just recently I met him. But he does not even know who I am. And Mumbai, everybody cheat everybody. You don't know who you are, and no one knows anyone. And he just did that. A God is a God who can meet your need. Doesn't matter where you are. One of the lessons that I learned about trusting God is, if you are going to trust in your ability, if you find a way out on your own, you missed an important opportunity for God to work. If you have not seen supernatural provisions, like angel coming and attend to you, that is because you already made your stone into bread. If you make your stone into bread, if you know how to handle your own life, then you will not see the angels coming and attending to him. Every desperate needs in your life in the past was an opportunity for God to do a miracle. Was an opportunity to tell you, man shall not live by human abilities alone. There is a supernatural God who is very interested in you to take care of you. We missed it a lot. When I studied this passage, a similar passage like this, you know what is the first thing came was, we didn't have money for 4 days. This is recently, last Christmas, last December. There was no money. No money for food. Children are there, 2 daughters are there. And there was no money. But there was a little bit of rice and a little bit of grain. So we were kind of going around with it. But you need special things to send it to the tiffin. So the first day evening, we had a Christmas program, and there was burger. You know what? My children's favorite dish is burger, and even I love burger. So there was burger for dinner. And there was some leftover burger, like McDonald's. Am I saying it right? Okay. So then there was burger leftover, so we carried it home. There was cake, so there was tiffin also for the next day. And the next day, we found 100 rupees in the Bible. So that took care of that day. And I think on the third day, there was another Christmas program. Our own church people are organizing. And in this Christmas program, one of our Hindu convert is Sudesh Jadhav. He was 7 years mentally sick. The day that I shared gospel with him, God miraculously healed him. So he's arranging a Christmas program in his place, calling all his workers together. So he shared his testimony. I gave the gospel. There was mutton biryani. You know biryani? That's a very favorite dish of Indians in there. Mutton is my favorite. So mutton biryani. And then there was leftover again. So there was tiffin on the next day. So it was going very well. No money, but things were going well. And then on the fourth day or something, I don't remember the exact number of days, early morning, 3 o'clock, Anu woke up and I was also awake. She was crying. She said, there is nothing for tiffin for children. We can't send them to school. So I said, Anu, it's only 3 o'clock. The children only have to go to school by 9 o'clock. Yeah, but there was nothing. Yeah, nothing was there. And then she was looking from the window, seeing children going to the school. And she was feeling very sad, whatever. I have a friend at that time, wrote to me. I think maybe God put it in his heart. Do you need anything? But we normally don't tell things like this to anyone when we go through that situation. Because we really allow God to work. So, also we have money. Because we get, most of our friends support me and send my support to my personal account. And because we don't have the provision to receive money to my ministry account yet. And we have a commitment that we will only use 20% of that for our personal need. So 80% will keep away. So we have lots of money in the bank, but we still don't use it. By 8:15, when I checked my account, there were 20,000 rupees a friend of mine sent it to my account that morning. I don't know how that money came to the account before even bank opened. At 8:15, we had enough money to send to the children to the school. Every desperate situation in our life is a place where God wanted to show you, you have limits. Limit your faith. Yeah, even I would have, I don't know what I would have done if that money would not have come that time. I don't know where my faith would have gone. It is not even about your faith. It is about faithfulness of God. If you would allow room for God, he will come. You know the verse that I read, Jeremiah chapter 17, 5 and 6. The next part, verse 7 and 8, it is talking about, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in him alone. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord whose hope is in him alone. My challenge is this today. I just wanted to conclude by saying this. Every desperation in your life is an opportunity for evil to push you to do something bad to meet your need. Or it's an opportunity to see supernatural provision from God. Help you to understand you have limitations. And then he will come in and he will prove to you he is faithful. May God bless you all. Thank you.